serious decisions need to be taken over the future funding of higher education in Northern Ireland. That's the warning from the Vice-Chancellors of Queen's University and Ulster University. The head of Queen's, Professor Patrick Johnston, told the BBC's Inside Business programme that a rise in tuition fees or a return to public funding was required to bridge a £100 million gap.
We have some very critical decisions as a society to make very, very quickly because we're already in trouble. We're bringing corporation tax in 2018. We actually today don't have the graduates to fill those jobs. We have to either come up with a number of solutions, one of which might be the public purse begins to fund the full investment in higher education that is needed. Either fees or we've got to get back to public funding.
So what way should we be funding our young people's educational future? Should the students pay more, or should we return to a time when taxpayers provided more money? National Union of Students President Fergal McFerrin is on the line this morning, also former Tory Cabinet Minister Edwina Curry. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what do you make of this dire warning then, Fergal?
Well, I'm not surprised, really. I know that for the past little while, our institutions here in Northern Ireland have been facing a significant funding problem. And I think that in itself has come from a culture within our politics in Northern Ireland that hasn't really valued the importance of our higher and further education system to society beyond just the economic benefits it provides. So I'm not surprised by the comments from Professor Johnston yesterday, certainly. But I think it's important to focus on the fact that he didn't just mention tuition fees. And far too often until now, the debate around higher education is just focused on tuition fees. And I'm glad that he mentioned the public purse, because I do think that our higher and further education systems are so vitally important to our society that we should be investing as a society in them, and that there is a strong argument for greater investment from the public purse into them.
Well, we'll get the tuition fees bit out of the way early then. I mean, how do you justify that gap? I mean, people will say, why should students here pay £3,500 a year compared to £9,000 in England?
Well, so I think we need to get our language right here. Students don't pay that in England, because if you look at what has happened in England, the result of the raised tuition fees is actually the worst of both worlds, really. They raise tuition fees, and as a result, students are in even more debt. But because so many students are never in a position to pay that debt back, then actually the entire funding model that surrounds the higher education system in England is based on a false economy that can't pay for itself. And what it becomes is increasingly more unsustainable. And the only answer to solving that problem is to continue to raise tuition fees or to revert back to public funding in its entirety.
Of course, the other question is, where do you take the money from if you revert back to public funding? It has to come from somewhere. And we're told, you know, there's less and less money.
Yeah, and that's correct, and it's an important question to ask.
Do you take it from health? Do you take it from education? Where does it come from?
Well, actually, I think here in Northern Ireland, there's an argument to be made that, for instance, with the devolution and reduction in corporation tax coming down the line, that actually those wealthiest in our society here, those who earn the most, those who have in the past maybe gone through our higher education system and never had to pay fees and got grants and so on, who now probably earn the most, maybe should pay a levy towards higher education through the regional rate, and we could fund our system more sustainably through that.
So you want them to pay for it?
Well, yes, I think it's a fair ask that as a society we invest in something that ensures that we have a more prosperous and economically stable society in the future as well.
So what's your position, Fergal? What's the union position on fees? I mean, do they go up at all? Is £3,500 a year the limit, do you feel? Where do you stand on this?
No, we're very clear that our position is actually that we would seek to have tuition fees abolished in Northern Ireland. And that's something that we've been working with politicians on for the last year.
That's not going to happen, though, is it?
Well, we recognise the difficult budgetary situation that we're in, but actually we've met with the Employment and Learning Committee and individuals as well as a group on several occasions, and we have made the economic argument for the fact that abolishing tuition fees is not just a pipe dream, but something that, with the political will behind it, can be achieved. I mean, if you look at the fact that we have devolution of corporation tax coming down the line, realistically, if we do not invest properly in our higher and further education system, ensure that we can fund our students and support them financially properly, then realistically, all of the jobs that are supposedly going to be created in Northern Ireland through that we won't have the graduates to fill those jobs. And so there does need to be, as Professor Johnson said, we can't avoid the argument anymore. We can't avoid the debate, and we need to find an answer soon. And I would agree with him that one of the options should be for greater funding from the public purse.
Edwina Curry.
Yes, every time you have me on this programme, whatever the topic, somebody says we should have more money from the public purse. And I'm never very clear why Northern Ireland has to be so very different from the rest of the United Kingdom in this. I mean, at the moment, I should also add that I agree with Fergal that the people who benefit from this wonderful higher education should be the ones that help pay for it. And that's exactly what the student loan system does. That's how it's been devised. You don't start paying anything in until your income exceeds £21,000 a year. And on average, students who have got a degree earn a great deal more than the people who don't. So you've also got to ask all sorts of questions of equity and of fairness. I mean, is it fair that the people who don't go to university and who on average earn less should be paying for the people who do go to university and on average are going to be earning a great deal more? That doesn't sound fair to me. It's also worth pointing out that actually with about half, it's 48% of those taking their A-levels in Northern Ireland are applying to go to university. That's an enormous number. It's the highest in the UK. It compares with, say, only 31% in Wales. And you have to ask whether that's a good use of all the 18-year-olds in the province. Perhaps it would be better if some of them didn't go to university. Perhaps it would be better if they applied for apprenticeships. Perhaps it would be better if they learned to do all the practical jobs that are needed.
Do you think that you can actually have a point where there are far too many people who actually go to university?
Of course. Of course you can. There's nothing intrinsically necessary about half your 18-year-olds. That was a figure that was picked on by Tony Blair over a decade ago. That was his aspiration. He just plucked it out of the air. It means that we're very short of all sorts of practical trades. The housing and construction industry is crying out for people with practical skills, having to import them from all over Europe and even all over the world. Now, wouldn't that be better? You qualify as a plumber and you'll never be out of a job. But in all of this, the public purse is the important element. We do need to make sure our universities are well funded, that their research is high quality, the teaching is very high quality. There's some evidence that the higher fees in England mean that students are scrutinising much more carefully those tutors who are not perhaps quite up to the job and aren't turning up, that sort of thing. There's a lot more criticism, a lot more demand for higher quality work, so you get that spin off. But there's absolutely no evidence that the higher fees in England are deterring anybody. In fact, the numbers of applicants are at record levels.
I mean, what about Fergal's point? He says that there's a strong economic case for abolishing fees altogether. Do you take that point?
No, I don't think I do. If you do that, and you return to the world that I grew up in which there weren't any fees and there were maintenance grants and so on, but only one person in 10 got to university. There were far fewer universities. It meant that, and there were far fewer girls as well. The majority of people who are going to university these days are women students, far outnumbering the men. And you were in a much more elitist world. Now, my own feeling was that that wasn't fair and it didn't serve the nation. We needed to have far more people going to university and getting decent degrees. But that costs a lot of money. It's a very expensive operation. And whether Fergal likes it or anybody else likes it or not, it's in direct competition with decent hospitals, with good pensions. The number of older people is rising inexorably. So the balance, to tip it back towards young people again, it has to be justified. And I don't think it can be.
In terms of the grants, though, Edwin, I mean, do you think students here have got a good deal compared to counterparts elsewhere, particularly in England?
Well, one of the interesting things is, of course, the students will look long and hard at the universities and the courses being offered, and about half the applicants in Northern Ireland are applying to come to England. So that tells you something about how they see their own colleges. And it may also be they just want to travel, which is fine. But for the universities in Northern Ireland to be as attractive as they should be, to have the highest possible international standards, and bear in mind they're competing, of course, with the universities in the Republic as well, where an EU student doesn't pay any fees at all. So to get to the highest standards, they need to be well funded. And that really means that the pressure is on to where the money comes from. I think it's perfectly equitable. I think it's absolutely fair that the money should come from those who go to college, get their degrees, and then can charge, you know, enormous fees for being lawyers and accountants and all the rest of it when the time comes.
03030805555, the number this morning. Morning, Birdie.
Morning, Joel.
How are you this morning?
I'm not too bad, thanks.
Excellent. What's your point, Birdie?
My point is about the students. Well, in the present economic situation, everyone has to tighten their belts. So I think the students can start off well out of this themselves. But the first thing, cutting down their consumption and alcohol. Like, they seem to have parties all the time, and the booze seems to have no obstacle getting it. So, but like, the cost of all this, and I think they would drink less and put more in their education.
It's a bit of a sweeping statement, Birdie, yes, Fergal, you do accept that is a perception that's out there. It's a widely held perception by a lot of people.
It's a perception, but it's an entirely false one at the moment. I mean, Birdie, can I speak freely just for a second? Thank you.
Great.
If you think everyone in the current economic climate is struggling, then I can tell you that students are probably a group of people who are struggling even more. We know for a fact almost two-thirds of students in Northern Ireland regularly worry about not having enough money.
Birdie thinks you're out partying two and three times a week.
I can assure
you. Back up from their parents.
What do you think every parent can afford to support their child? You're sitting there telling me with one side of your mouth that people are actually struggling on a day-to-day basis in the economic climate that we're in, and those are the same people that you expect to be able to support their students, their children whilst they're in education. Bertie, 58% of students regularly worry about not having enough money to meet their basic living expenses, and we know more than half of students these days now work alongside their studies as well. So if you think all students are out partying every night of the week and that's why they can't afford anything, then you're wrong. And I think it's incredibly insulting for you to make such a sweeping statement.
Hold on a second.
It's not wrong. Look at the exhibition that there is down there and the disruption to people, to the neighbours and all. So, they're not all saint, you know.
Edwina, you were I'll let you come back, Fergal, but Edwina was trying to get in there as well. Go on ahead, Edwina.
Yes, I don't think Fergal should call other people insulting. His arguments are all based on all students, all parents. It's not like that. We live in a world in which 48%, the very latest figures haven't come out yet. They come out at the end of January. I'm looking at this time last year for the figures. 48% of the people in Northern Ireland about to take their A-levels are applying to university. That's one in two. Right. And now the cheapest way of doing that, if you're short of cash, is stay at home or go to the local college. And they're not doing that. Half of those are applying to go to England, where they're going to be paying much higher fees or they're going to be acquiring much higher debt. So the idea that they're struggling is, for most of them, nonsense. And indeed, for every single one, it's a choice. You do not have to go to university. You can go and get a job. You can go into other forms of higher education. You can go into an apprenticeship and learn a trade. And the intelligent thing is to make those choices and to figure out lifelong whether you're going to benefit. And most of them are doing that exactly right. And
is this almost a mindset thing, though, Edwina, where it's almost as if I can go to university, so it's something that I now must do?
I think for many of them, the schools, the colleges, just make an assumption, you're absolutely right, that the smartest ones should do exactly that. It's not always the best thing for them. In some of the colleges, you get too high a dropout rate. So the students themselves can be very critical if the standards are not high enough. You find this particularly in some of the weaker universities in England, where the students are saying, hang on a minute, we're paying for all this. We want a much higher standard. But in any case, the idea that, you know, people are struggling to send their kids to university, it's just not like that. It's it's not happening like that. If people are coming from poorer homes, then there is help available. And often those are the ones who are doing very well indeed and the ones who are most willing to pay for it.
Ken, Fergal, I will bring you back in, but Ken wants to speak specifically to Edwina about a point that she's raised. Ken, good morning to you.
Good morning. Hi, Joel. Good morning.
Edwina's there. Go on ahead, Ken.
Well, she was on there a couple of minutes ago, and she seemed to be making the point that a lot of students were going across the water because the universities over here weren't of the same standard and so forth. That's absolute nonsense. The reason kids are going over to England and Scotland, the universities, is because the universities here can only take X amount of students. Their physical capacity for accepting students is X, and there are X plus Y kids who are qualified to go to university, so they have no choice but to go across the water. And the point that I would like to make about funding is the inequality of it all. You've sort of three sets of funding. You've Northern Ireland, which is part subsidised by the local executive. You have Scotland, which is totally subsidised, and Scottish kids pay absolutely nothing. And then in England and Wales, they pay the full $9,000 per year. And my two kids are both in Edinburgh, one of them at Harriet Watt and one of them at Napier. So they're having to pay £27,000 in fees. And I agree with fees, so do Joel. I'm not trying to say that students should get free education. They shouldn't. It's right that they pay a fee because hopefully they will qualify and get good jobs. But it's the inequality. We're part of the UK, and this is where I feel devolution falls down slightly, in that Scotland give their kids it free, and that's paid for, I suppose, by the English taxpayer through the block grant and so forth. But kids coming from the Republic of Ireland, for example, from Sweden, Finland, for education in Scotland, pay absolutely nothing. Whereas my two kids, they're going to come out with a loan owing about 40-odd thousand for their education. So the point I'm making is the inequality of it all.
Edwina?
It's an unfair world. If your kids go to university in America, it's going to cost an awful lot more than £9,000 a year. Believe me, in many other countries in the world, university education is not subsidised by the state at all. And the cost of going... I remember President Barack Obama saying, looking slightly dazed, just after he first got elected nearly 8 years ago, and saying, we've only just paid off our student loans. You know, the cost of education is high. You have to ask, why are your kids choosing to go to universities? They sound like engineering students. Why are they choosing to cross the pond? There are several reasons. One might be they want to get away from you and they want to get away from home and have a life. And that's absolutely wonderful when they do. That was me. That was me all those years ago. But it's also because the standard of universities where they are well funded is very high. Now, in England, the limits on university places have been lifted. And that was a bit of an experiment. And the outcome is that the number of applicants has risen. And that means more money for the universities. So that's another way of possibly doing it.
Ken, what would you like to see? Because I know you've said in your answer that you believe in some sort of fees. But, I mean, would it be worth what Fergal is suggesting, abolishing fees here and employing perhaps that Scottish model? Do you think that would be worth doing here? Would it be a price worth paying?
Joel, I think you know, the word I use is equality. It should be the same for a kid in London coming to a university in Belfast. A kid coming from London to a university in Belfast is having to pay something like $9,000 a year, whereas a kid from Belfast only pays $3,500. All of that comes from the UK taxpayer eventually. And, you know, just because, you choose to go to a certain university, the fees should all be the same in my book.
I don't agree with that, not least because the universities aren't the same. A college like Imperial College in London is hugely expensive. A college that carries engineering,
well,
that carries
more
medicine.
For that, Edwina, but you pay the fee. You know, if a certain university is going to charge more, that's fair enough. You make your choice.
But you pay the same fee regardless of which part of the United Kingdom you come from. That would be the point.
Oh, exactly. That would be fine.
Why should kids coming from Finland and Sweden and Denmark and all over Europe, they're flocking to Scotland and taking up places in Scottish universities because it's free for them. They don't pay a halfpenny. Whereas me, a British UK taxpayer, my kids are paying $27,000 for their education.
And for
someone from Sweden is paying nothing.
Fergal, that idea of people flocking to Scotland, I mean, do you see that as a way perhaps Scotland will look upon this as gathering up a sort of building a workforce almost of graduates who they have attracted from all around the world, and they're looking at this long term and thinking, well, we're going to have a lot of the best people here, and they may not leave again once they've got their qualifications?
Well, I don't really buy into that. I do sort of think that there should be some level of party. I just disagree with Edwina in that I think the party should be that education should be free. But I do want to respond to a couple of the other points that she made.
Yes,
and I do think she had a very almost sensible, I'd say, and I sort of hesitate to call her sensible, point in saying that there was maybe too many people going to university and that university isn't for everyone. I do think that actually there is an issue with our careers advice and guidance system where people aren't necessarily guided in the right way and making the best informed choices. And people should absolutely have the right to enter into universities and higher education, but it's not necessarily the right thing for everyone to do.
So you do accept that there are some people who go to university who actually may be better off doing something different?
Oh, of course, yeah, that's absolutely the case. But that's through the fault of a system that probably doesn't advise them in the most robust way, or they are not the most informed when they are making that decision. But I also want to maybe just say to Edwina, as a former Conservative MP, that you'll understand maybe that George Osborne's entire sort of austerity measures have been around getting the state debt down and reducing debt in the state. So I don't really understand why we are now asking to lump more debt on students who are trying to get a good start in life, who are trying to get their career, who are trying to get on the property ladder. Why are we saying that it's okay for young people coming out of university once they're at the age of 2021, that it's okay for them to be in the best part of 30 to 50 grand worth of debt? I don't understand why.
All right, well, I'll explain. The reason is that university is very, very expensive. It's not an expensive luxury. It's an expensive necessity we need to have, especially in the West. We need to have a well-educated populace. Of course we do. But the people who gain most from that are the people who attend. And they end up earning an awful lot more than your members. Your ordinary trade union members are people who, on the whole, who haven't got those higher education qualifications, and they
not
earn less. Well, I beg your pardon, but you see my point. There is an inequity about the less well-paid people in the population forking out a lot of tax so that a minority of the population can go to college and then earn lots and lots of money and see the benefit going into their own pockets. That's also inequity. Why do we have to do this? Because it costs money to run good university. Let me just pick up a point about international students that we heard a moment ago. I think it's worth remembering that the largest numbers of students who are coming in from overseas are from China and from India. You're talking about over 100,000 of those. And they pay the full whack. They actually help to pay for these university colleges all over the country. As for the EU students, we have the same right to go to other EU countries. That's one of the agreements amongst the 400 million people in the EU. It's worth doing. There are colleges all over Europe, like Maastricht, where the courses are in English. If that's what you want to do, by all means go. But what's happening is that Northern Ireland students are applying in large numbers to come to English universities because the standards and the courses and the travel and all the rest of it are so high.
Well, no, I don't necessarily think that's the entire reason.
Well, you ask them why. Why do they come? Why are the students going to England?
As Ken, the previous caller, mentioned, actually, we have a MASM cap here in Northern Ireland, which means that not every student can study in Northern Ireland. And so that's part of the problem. That's part of the reason why people leave. That's maybe not necessarily completely accurate. The other thing I do want to say, though, was that you'd mentioned that tuition fees hadn't affected student numbers. And on the face of it, if you look at full-time undergraduates, no, it doesn't look like they have. But if you look at part-time student numbers, they're at the lowest levels they've ever been in England. And you have to think about, actually, when tuition fees were raised, who did it really impact upon? Part-time students tend to be students with caring responsibilities, people with other things and other demands going on in their lives. And so when we think about the impact that raising tuition fees will have, it could actually be harming those people within society who are most likely not to enter into higher education in the first place. And access to higher education is one of the most important things to create a more equal and fair society. And it really helps with social mobility and social cohesion in Northern Ireland as well. And so we need to really tease out these kind of issues
You can't solve all problems. You have to choose.
OK, well, listen, we're going to have to park it here for the moment. Fergal, thanks for your time this morning. Edwina,
always nice
to talk to you. We have a very important police officer waiting to talk to us, but we will come back to your calls in this. Lots of phone calls, lots of reaction to this, asking the question, what way should we actually be funding our young people's educational future, particularly in terms of our universities? Should the students be paying more, or should we be returning to a time when taxpayers provided more money? And you heard the point being made by Fergal McFerrin there, that he feels that there's a strong economic argument for abolishing fees altogether. What do you think this morning?